Good morning, Antioch. We're learning to pray, aren't we? By looking into the Word of God and looking at different passages, different types of prayer. And we have been looking at the prayer of lament, which is the prayer language for Christians when we're suffering. Lament is the prayer language for us when we're hurting. It's said that if you want to see the character of someone, just watch them as they go through a hard time. If we want to grow in our character to go through hard times well, practice lament. Learn lament and make it a regular practice in your life. Lament helps us in a few different ways. Lament helps us to steward pain. It helps us to steward it instead of just trying to numb our pain and suffering or escape from it or get to the other side of it. It helps us to steward it, to recognize maybe God has purpose in this. Maybe God has something for me to learn or something for me to experience that's actually helpful for me or helpful for someone else. It helps us to steward our pain and struggle. Lament also can help us to build endurance so that as I go through something, instead of just that was a bad time, that was a low time, that was a non-productive time, we actually build strength during the hard times. We build endurance and resilience so that we can become stronger Christians regardless of our circumstance. Lament also helps us to practice empathy. If I go through a really, really tough experience, but I take it as a learning time and I take it before the Lord and I'm wrestling in prayer with Him about it, then later in life when I see you go through a hard time, I see that with a greater depth and purpose too, and I can encourage you and I can empathize with the struggle. Lament's valuable for us in a lot of ways. Do you remember that chart we saw on here? It showed all the psalms broken into groups of types of psalms, and lament was the biggest type of psalm. There were more psalms of lament than any other kind of psalm. But did you know outside of the book of Psalms, there was a whole book written about lament? Remember the name of it? Lamentations. Laments. This was written by Jeremiah, the prophet, after the city of Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians. It's right in the middle of the book. Lamentations chapter 3 is this deep complaint and this rich trust. I want to share the complaint side with you briefly, and then we're going to hear some of the laments that were written by your brothers and sisters in this past week. And then after that, we'll look at the trust that Jeremiah placed in God in the midst of it. But listen to these verses from Lamentations chapter 3. He wrote, "I am the man who has seen affliction," starting in verse 1. "By the rod of the Lord's wrath, he has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayers. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he's dragged me from the path and mangled me, left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver." He goes on to further describe, but as he does, I'm struck with some things in this lament that he gives. One of the things I'm struck with is that he goes, looks right through the hardship or the people or the invading nation and blames God directly. Makes no bones about it. God let this happen. God, you afflicted me in this way. I find that really powerful that he would do that. He could have said, these Babylonians, they're so bad. They did this to me. They did that. They destroyed our city. They could have described them. But he went right through it and blamed God because he has this basic trust. Like, God, you are powerful enough to effect change here. You do say that you love us. You are present with us, and you let this happen. This is on you. And remember, we talked about how that's actually, if you find yourself blaming God, give yourself grace, because the fact that it's troublesome for you is a reflection that there is faith there. There is trust. You do believe in God. You do believe he could change your situation. That's why it's so frustrating. And we see Jeremiah struggling right there. We also see this struggle with him where he can't even just describe with regular words what he's feeling. He uses these word pictures. This is like a bear has assaulted me on the path, or a lion is waiting to jump me. Like big rocks have been put in my way. All these word pictures that open up a deeper layer of his heart to describe his suffering and his pain. We're going to look in a few moments about his trust, but last Sunday, when we saw Psalm 55, we learned the pattern of lament, that we turn to God, we complain and ask him to change it, and then we trust in him. I gave you the assignment to write your own lament, and a lot of you did. Thank you for that. And sent them in. And so this morning, we're going to share some of those. In fact, we have three readers are going to make their way up to the front. Gabe, Drew, and Diamond are going to come on up here, and they're going to read a selection from those. So a lot of them won't be read. But as you hear some of those, they were all good, by the way. As you hear some of those, you'll hear some themes you probably can relate to. Struggles related to aging parents, struggles related to just the ache of parenting, struggles related to losing friends. A lot of these things are real, and they take a lot of energy from us. And just as you hear these, I'm going to pray for us, and then as you hear these, I just invite you to listen. Just listen. Every one of the words you're going to hear was written by a brother or sister who's sitting around you. Just feel it with them. Empathize. As God calls us to do, bear one another's burdens and weep with those that weep. Father, as we enter this moment of just hearing one another's struggle and lament, we do this in your presence too. We're so glad you sent Jesus to come and walk among us. There's nothing we go through that you can't relate to. In fact, he went all the way to the cross. There's nothing we will go through that you can't relate to. So, Lord, we just open up our hearts to one another. We open up our hearts to you. And we ask you to give us ears to listen well and hear what's being said by your people. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an extra copy when you're sitting, just if it helps you to see who's next. Thanks, guys. Yeah, use that one. Thank you.
I'm currently jobless. I turn to God for his help almost every day. Some days I get confused because I'm not getting any closer to what I need. In the meantime, I applied for unemployment. That's work in itself to get. I asked him to let me get it assigned to me. I trusted he would, and I did get it. Praise.
Lord, where are you in this? I don't understand. Do you not see? Do you not care? Are you not able? Are you there? I ask in hope, and it seems you do the opposite. How will you fix this? How will you get glory here? Please, God, come and make this right. Help us. Provide for your people. Heal. Work this for good somehow. Jesus, you came, you lived, you felt this, you died, and then you rose again. So I know you see, you care, you can. Give me faith and humility to trust in you, Lord, and not in what I can see. Amen.
Lord God, maker of all things, the one who reigns and is victorious, I come to you seeking your help. You alone can offer true healing and redemption. I come to you because I know things are not right in my heart, in my head, and in my house. And I know you desire more than this for me and my family. I believe you want things to be redeemed so that you may be glorified. I am exhausted from the battle, from the race. I am weary. Why do I get so easily annoyed and easily irritated, so quick to turn to sorrow or grumbling, desiring to run away, to hide away? One day the noise will not be here and I will miss it. The neediness will not be here and I'll miss it. I'm afraid in 15 years I'll just be in the same position, spiraling in my sadness and beating myself up for all I did wrong. But now, for no reasons, wishing they were back in my arms. But that doesn't change the fact that the struggle is here and the struggle is now. How can I possibly walk them through their big emotions in a healthy way when I can't walk through my own emotions in a healthy way? I need you to fix me. I need you to help me. Please help me so I can be a better mom for them. Please, please. And please be their healer. For all the ways that we have failed them, help them see that you alone are the perfect father. I trust you because you have already saved me from the grave. You have shown me your hand of healing and how you care for me. Please keep providing your healing in me, my husband, and our boys, your boys. Please help me to believe that joy will come in the morning. Help me trust in your restoration. I love you, Father. Amen.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. For I desire peace in my household and the salvation of my children. You know I crave this above all else in my life, and I have toiled years to this end. I strive and labor to cultivate the peace of Christ in the hearts of all who dwell in these walls, but my efforts fall short. To you alone I must turn. Lord, there is so much selfishness, deception, and fighting within my home. I live among hearts that desire to tear each other down, and it is too much for me to bear. I see little minds that are deceitful, deceitfully veil malicious intentions, and it brings tears to my eyes. I hear yelling and raging as selfish desires go unfulfilled, and it pierces my heart to its center. I walk down paths of peace, and they refuse to follow. I watch in horror as the sands of time take individual sins and mold them into patterns before eventually solidifying them into the stone of habit. Father, etch your commandment in into even this hardest granite. Oh, that the sins of youth would not be passed on to our children's children. Tear out selfish roots in all of us and replace them with the Spirit of Christ. Let us each consider one another as more important than ourselves. Grant us strength to take Christ as our example, who, when reviled, did not revile in return. May the tongues set on fire by hell be quenched, and our mouths be filled with the songs of Zion. Let the peace and love of Christ rule and reign in my home. Oh, that salvation would come out of Zion, for there is no other power that can change a heart. Lord, you are gracious and love my family more than I do. My tears and sleepless nights are many, and my faith is weak. Where else can I turn? You have the words of eternal life.
Only you, Father, can hold a life in your hands. Your word is bread for the hungry and water for the thirsty. You breathe life into every chest. You sustain the earth with your attention. Your spark ignites flames of passion you have stoked within us. But my soul buckles beneath a heavy burden. The load I am asked to carry seems too great. You give a life only to take one back again. I beg to take their place, for I know my flame is dying out. I envy the dead, for they can see your face clearly now. I resent the living, for they ignore the pain of death a little longer. But you have given her neither. You hold one I love in between. You tie up my heart in knots. You tempt me to hope for salvation you will not grant. I am strangled by the weight. You punish my heart with silence. Take them or take me. Put one out like a fading light so the other can be free of this agony. And if you would only choose me instead, 1,000 lives I would gladly lose. This one I live now is worth too little to me. But you can restore and you can rebuild. You called Lazarus out from his bed of stone, and you make dry bones to walk again. Only you can breathe new life into old lungs. Only you can take broken clay and mold new vessels. So I will wait another day. I will cry out to the one who is the same yesterday and tomorrow. I will ask my Father to give good gifts to his Son, and I will trust that he has love in abundance. I will breathe the air you breathed into me at dawn.
Oh God, hear my plea for help and comfort. Day and night, I feel anguish and sadness. Even though I know you see me, and I know others are hurting too, I feel alone in my pain. I wonder if you see or care, and so I struggle to even come to you with this pain. How can I explain it? What good will it do to focus on the ways this situation hurts me? What hope do I have left if I question your goodness? God, I have so many questions and so few answers. Why do the righteous face sickness and suffering? What are you accomplishing through such utter pain and destruction? You are the author of life, yet you allow so much death and decay. Why? 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 My soul cries out within me. I feel confusion and loss of direction. How can I support and love others or find direction when it still feels like we're in the eye of a hurricane? When the sun shines, the path ahead seems clear, but in the storm, only confusion and disorientation reign. How long will you leave us in the darkness? How long until we see healing and hope? Save us, O God. Do not leave us to face this storm alone. I watch the godly and the wicked alike, and suffering makes no discrimination, but the one who hopes in the Lord has something to cling to. Cling to me, O God. Do not let me drown in tears. Incline your ear toward me and hear my pleas for healing. Bring restoration and new life to sick and broken servant. Do not forget the righteous one. Though the path ahead is dark and the storm continues to rage, I put my hope in the Lord. He is the steadfast anchor for my soul, and those who call upon him will never be put to shame. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name.
In you, O Lord, is my only refuge. My only hope is in your salvation. All power is in the palm of your hand. All creation is at your command. You are faithful to your people. King Jesus, my heart aches as your people suffer while the wicked prosper. Our parents have served you long and faithfully and yet suffer so early in life. My heart breaks at their illness and disability. Why has their faithfulness and their service led to this? Where is their reward on earth? You are good. You are faithful. How can this world be so hard for those that love you? Why must they miss out on so much of life and golden years with us and our daughter? You say that all is lost for the sake of Christ will be returned many times over. Why can't that start now? Why have we have broken this world, but you have saved us even as we live within it? Why can't you heal right now? Why don't you bless the righteous and punish the wicked? You say in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I trust that you are good, though life is so often not. I trust the same God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son. I trust that you will give us new bodies in a new heavens and a new earth, that wrong will be made right, that every tear will be wiped away, that earthly suffering is as nothing compared to future glory. Yet my heart is still heavy, O Lord.
Lord, I come to you, tired and weary. There is no hope apart from you, so to you I turn. My heart aches. It feels weighed down by an anchor of grief. Heavy with anguish, it drags me down. Many of my friends have left Antioch over the past years, and I feel it. I miss being with them on Sunday morning. I miss the joy of seeing our kids playing together. Will everyone leave? Will I eventually be surrounded by strangers I barely know? Putting time into developing these new relationships takes time and is sometimes more than I have the energy for. I'm weary of it, especially after spending the last decade at 3 different churches in 3 different states. I ask you, Father, for some constant friends. I seek your body to be built up in a lasting way, and ultimately, may your kingdom come and your will be done, until we are all celebrating in your eternal house together forever, when there will be no more tears or sorrow. Come, Lord Jesus, I trust in your promises. Not a single one ever fails. You are my constant companion, my trusted friend. Truly, there is no one closer than you, my rock and my fortress.
God, I am here again, desperately want to be, and yet in the same breath, this is the last place I want to be because I feel dejected. I feel forgotten and alone, but I come to you again because I know you hear me. You heard David, and you will hear me. I am so lonely, God. For years now, I've longed to be close, longed for a close friend. 2020 wreaked havoc on my friendships, and I'm so sad. I mourn what I had, and I'm angry that something out of both of our control ruined what beauty we had. I am sad and angry that those closest to me moved away or circumstances out of both of our control ripped us apart. I am trying again, but it's not the same, and I wonder if I ever will be if I ever will feel beautiful again. Over the last 3 years, I've tried so many times, but it seems like others either have their people already or haven't or aren't interested in connecting with me. I text them, but they don't initiate. I am so weary of being the initiator and not feeling like anyone returns with the kind of friendship I desire. I so deeply want a close friend to confide in, to connect with throughout the week, to text when I am happy and when I am sad, to feel like I can do things alongside a godly companion, this challenging and beautiful thing called motherhood. I feel so desperately lonely that I don't even know what to do. My husband is wonderful, but he is not a woman and he is not a mom. And he is busy throughout the day doing what you have called him to do, so to provide for us, and I am very grateful for that. I know you've given so many people in the Bible godly friends. Why can't this be me? I ask you to provide. Scripture shows time and time again how you gave your people exactly what they needed, even if it wasn't what they thought they needed in the moment. But Scripture also says that we aren't meant to do this alone, that we were made for godly community. Please provide for me a few friends. Goodness, even just one good person. I would be so grateful. Open my eyes to see who you are providing right in front of me that maybe I'm just not seeing. Help me be a good friend so I can have a good friend. I come to you, sit with you, for you are my friend. I trust you with my heart, with my loneliness, with my tears. I trust you with my feelings of dullness and lack of feeling that I've tried to protect myself with over the last few years. The hardness I have used to cope with my tender, lonely feelings inside. I trust you with the deep parts of me, the parts that I rarely share anymore because I don't know how to. I trust you to help me remember how to be a good friend so that I can learn again what it is to have deep friendship. I give you my fear of vulnerability, my sadness at the unresolved conflicts still, my hopes that I'm afraid to lose again. I give you myself. Please do not let me regret it. Please provide as I know you can. As I know, friendship takes time to deepen too. You are with me and will sustain me, however long I have to wait.
Oof, God, I'm feeling burned out. Living in North Minneapolis is wearing on me. Why does it feel like there are very few people who actually care about our neighborhood and city? Why did the car in front of me throw hands full of trash out their window onto the side of the road? Why is it expected that cars parked on the street will inevitably be broken into? Will there ever be a day when I can allow my child to ride their bike down the street to play with their neighbors without fear of yet another car blowing through stop signs at high speed? Is it even worth it to try to love my neighbors down the street when there seems to be so many cultural barriers that keep us from having points of connection? It seems like any efforts I make to try to love and serve my community are negated by the countless acts of violence and destruction that I read in the news headlines each morning. Have you forgotten about North Minneapolis? What good could possibly be coming from the shootings, carjackings, and destruction? I wish you would just enact your justice now. Allow your sons and daughters to enjoy the beauty of the city and get rid of the evil that surrounds us. But you, God, are just, and you love this city more than I do. You will not allow evil to rule forever. And eventually, you will bring your kingdom down here, even to my neighborhood here in Minneapolis.
Thank you, readers. Wow. Like I said, that was way less than half of what you sent. I don't know about you, but I could feel and connect with the heart cry that is prevalent among us. And I'm so glad to see you take those places in your heart and bring them before the Father. He loves us. As we saw Jeremiah bring his complaint right into the face of God, look at what he does with it in Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Just listen. He says, "I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." That one verse stands out to me, or two verses, so strongly. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. He uses two different words to describe the love of God for you. The first one is translated great love. It's one of the coolest words in the Bible. In the Hebrew, it's the word hesed. And it's sometimes translated love, sometimes loving kindness, sometimes kindness or mercy or great love. And it's a description of God's covenant love for you, his faithful love for you. It's the love that will never change. He has made it his commitment, it flowing from his character, that he loves you. And there's nothing you can ever do to make him love you less. It's the faithful, rock solid, never changing love of God. But that isn't the only word that he used in that verse. He flips it and he says, "For his compassions never fail." Compassions is an emotional word. It's about what's happening down here in your gut. Something was moved. God's love for you is a love that feels it. Even as these laments were read, the Lord is feeling compassion for those who wrote it, for those of us who are relating to it. It's an emotion. God loves you. He likes you. He wants you. Even at our ugliest, he's inviting us to crawl up into his lap. Even when we're mad at him, he's like, "Good, I'm glad you're coming." And I think about those two things, that rock-solid love that God has made out of an absolute commitment to you, sealed by the Holy Spirit, it will not change. And then this emotion that does change, but it's a compassion for us. It's a stirring for us in his heart. It's a love for us. It moves him to act on our behalf. And they're both true and they're both real, and he depends on both because of the Lord's great love. We're not consumed. Nothing we do would lead him to turn on us. And his compassions, this welled up emotion for us, it never fails. It's brand new every single morning. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, God will be loving you in a new way that you haven't experienced yet. And it's true today. And Jeremiah, even after pouring out the most pointed lament, leans into this kind of love from God and places his trust right there. Thank you for journeying with us this morning into these laments and for feeling them with us. Keep practicing lament. Keep that little four elements of lament in your mind and use it, practice it. Come before the Lord. And Psalm 55 was meant to be sung by the community of the people. It was a song. As well as the one we're going to look at next week, which was a psalm, kind of a psalm of lament, but it's the one that we pray when we're really mad at somebody. How to pray when you're ticked off. That's next week. And that was meant to be sung in church as well. A little awkward. Lamentations 3, where he's blaming God for all their problems. That's written in the pages of Scripture for us to read. So there's this element of just sharing this with each other as we learn to practice lament. It's for us to share so that we can carry one another's burdens, weep with those that weep, and love each other well. As the worship team comes for a closing song, I'm going to just pray over us. Father, thank you for those two things, that rock solid commitment of love that will never change. And because of it, we're not consumed even in the fires of life. We walk through the fire and we're not burned. We get pulled under the water, but we don't drown. Because you love us. And Lord, thank you too that you actually like us. It's amazing that you're stirred to compassion to act with and for us. That you're stirred to grow us deeper and more mature so that we can come along other brothers and sisters and walk with them when they feel lonely and oppressed and struggling. Thank you, God. And thank you for this morning, for each one who made themselves vulnerable, and for the opportunity to listen to each other's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.